Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
I want to share with you some news, kind of where Morse sits, either a row in front or behind, has been John Couch for the past year. John has battled a lot of different health issues, and it was yesterday that John passed away. He had a lot of different complications in that he had diabetes in his foot and in one of his legs, and specifically a toe and around his ankle. Looked at multiple different surgeries, and it was either a stroke or a seizure that he had this weekend. Went into the hospital, and part of his brain had brain failure, and it was pretty quickly after that that he passed. His granddaughter is here this morning, and Bethany brought Zoe, his granddaughter. And Bethany, this morning we're going to be talking about just living an ordinary life that is extraordinary in the eyes of God. And she said that she came with Allie this morning. And Allie is fire, that girl. My daughters have been hanging out with Allie this weekend. And there is some fiery, ferocious things about her in this very beautiful and ordinary life of just loving a friend when she goes through loss, and with a simple invitation of inviting her to church. Allie carried the American flag to kick off the parade yesterday. I don't know if anybody saw that. She was leading the charge. She had her cowgirl boots on, and she was shining, smiling ear to ear. I'll tell you, this weekend is kind of our moment when Fairmount, it's like the Fairtucky Freedom Fest, right? We all come out in all of our glory. And it's a lot of ordinary people exchanging a lot of just ordinary tenderloins and doing it in a really spectacular way of engaging in our community. And man, was there tremendous loss this weekend. A lot of hard stories. And in very simple ways, people coming alongside just to love on them and to bring them into a church family. I was talking to Zoe this morning, and she said, I think I'm going to sit in my grandpa's pew maybe next week and just sit there. I said, I think that'd be a great idea. So, Morris, maybe she can tuck herself under your arm and can just love on her. But isn't it a beautiful thing when you can feel like you have a place? That's the end of the sentence. Isn't it beautiful when you feel like you have a place? When the rest of life hits the fan, I still have a place to come to be with, to belong. I really want us to be a church family that is faithful in the ordinary, in just the everyday practical grit and grind of life, that we would be there and just faithful. Sometimes I believe that in our spiritual lives and in our spiritual journeys, we can experience spiritual burnout by looking for the next big thing. And you're looking for it, and you chase it, and you're always looking for something else really, really big and a move, and I felt wind, or I felt something, or I got some ghost bumps, or something happened. And instead of looking for the next big thing, let's just look for a really big God in very ordinary things. Let's do that. Let's look for a God that would want to do some really awesome stuff in very simple everyday life. I think that he would want to show himself really faithful to us in the everyday stuff. And I just wonder how much we miss of God because maybe we're looking for something shiny and sparkly when really it's just the dust and the dirt of every day that he would want to show himself. Just wonder. And we get so tired and we're looking and maybe even disappointed. God, why aren't you and why didn't you? And it can leave us in a disappointed place. And I'll tell you, without a really good theology of the ordinary, we could miss some really awesome stuff. But when the theology is all about signs and wonders and breakthrough and God showing up and fire coming down from heaven, perhaps we miss just sitting with the woman at the well. Maybe. Maybe we just miss the time when the little boy is sick and Jesus just goes and visits him and prays with him. Perhaps. Here's a list of some of the New York Times bestsellers that hit the Christian book sell list. Here's a couple of them right here. Radical by Platt. We got Extraordinary by Bevere. Crazy Love by Francis Chan. Passion by Lou Giglio. Fervent by Priscilla Shire. We got Impact by Whitaker. We got some of these big time names. Radical. Big, fervent, passion. Oh, it's big. And I want to live that way, trust me. Man, I want passion. I want to be fervent. I want to be after it. And you know what? I also want to be one that's just consistently there, day after day in the grind. Michael Horton wrote a book in response. Really, it was actually in response to Platt's Radical. He just called it Ordinary. Check out, here's this book, Ordinary, and another book that I read is called The Theology of the Ordinary, Julie Canlis. I read this book, The Theology of the Ordinary, in one day. I couldn't get past it. There was just something that was drawing me in that just said, hey, can you just be with people in their everyday life? Just being with them. Walking down Main Street this weekend, and about every 50 feet, we come into another conversation. And Alyssa and I, we're like, we just want to get to the rice so bad. That's all I want. I just want a shish kebab. And on the way to the rice and the shish kebabs is another story, is another heartbreak, is another marriage problem, is another loss. Somebody else passed away. And I'm like, ugh, I'm aching and I'm grieving. And I'm like, okay, let's pull ourselves back together. And I'm like, it's just the next step. I'm getting ready to get on the teacups with my daughter. All I want to do is get on the teacups. Can I just get through the teacups? Is all I want. And another story and another encounter and another place of pain. And I'm just like, man, I don't know that we need to have some grand big moment of God coming down. I just wonder if maybe he wants to just love on somebody right outside the teacups. And it's like, I just want to be with you right here and right now, Brock. And I want just to kind of flow through your skin, and I just want to love on some people. And guys, it has nothing to do with a title. If you're a pastor, it has everything to do with that you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And you say, God, here I am. Use me. Send me as a missionary, not across the world, but just across the street. Can you just send me as a missionary right there, 50 yards from here? Because God, I will go. And I will love, and I will encourage, and I'll point people to you. And I'm just going to do this thing, and it's going to be very ordinary, but it's going to be spectacular. And sometimes God is moving in the simple when we're looking for the extravagant. And I just want to encourage us, church people, can we just sit with people in it as they're walking through it? I remember a few times as a college student, I see a few of our Taylor kids here, that there were times in school when I would be so lonely. I'm sitting in Second West 210. I'm sitting there and it is lonely and it's another night, and while everybody else is out and they're going on their picket dates and they're doing whatever else that they're doing, right? Adam, you've been on a picket date lately? You better believe it. And it's a lot of fun and it's exciting and all that sort of stuff. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, Jesus, number one, where is she? Send her, Lord. And number two, why is it lonely? And you're just sitting in these moments and you're just wondering, God, I just want something more. And maybe you want a different breakthrough or whatever it is. And I just wonder if maybe God is saying, this isn't just wasted time or even waiting time or even a terrible time, but a training time where I'm doing some stuff in you. I'm learning you, I'm kind of teaching you to know your convictions, to stand strong, to kind of make some really good choices right now, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard, and to stay in these places. And guys, I would encourage you not to look at these as just bummer nights, but that God's doing something in me, that maybe God's working something out inside of me. There's a story of a young man by the name of David, who eventually becomes King David. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see this story of young shepherd David. It says, now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Judah had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was very old. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shema. We'll keep going. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now Jesse said to the son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread to your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses. They're going to make some hot ham and cheese maybe, or some grilled cheese sandwiches, to the commander of their unit, and see how your brothers are and bring them back. Bring back assurance from them. We'll keep going. There was Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David went to the flock in the care of the shepherd, loaded up and set out, and Jesse had directed them. He reached the camp as the army was going into the battle positions, shouting the war cry. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart. We're jumping forward a few verses here. So David's checking on his brothers. Okay, they're going back and forth. Who is this Philistine and what's going to happen? And so David now has an audience with the king. He now is standing before King Saul. And I don't know why King Saul is giving an audience to this little shepherd boy. But here he is, this ordinary kid, this little farmer from Fairmount is now standing in front of the president. Okay, and the farmer says to the president, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. So the president replied, you are not about to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around. Because he was not used to them, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Check this out. Here we see King David, this ordinary kid, doing his ordinary life, showing up to work every day, being faithful with his family. And I want you to put yourself in this position, because sometimes I feel perhaps we see ourselves in light of Scripture as insufficient. Maybe you feel, you look back on your fathering and you think, man, I was just insufficient as a father. How did this happen with my kids? Where did I miss it? Perhaps you feel insufficient as a mother. And you think, I should have done something else or different as a mama to point my sons and daughters in a different direction. Maybe as a spouse, I just wasn't enough. And why did this marriage not work? Or I'm still in this marriage and it's not breaking through. And it doesn't feel awesome at times. Perhaps you feel insufficient as a provider. And you see the other things that people have. And man, I'm just not getting that part done. Maybe insufficient as a friend. I don't know where we feel like maybe we're not enough. And David shows up to this war as just a simple boy. And all of these things of the king tries to put his armor onto David. And David's like, this thing just doesn't fit. This isn't me. This doesn't work. I can't be some extraordinary king. Some people believe that Saul was also a giant, potentially 7 to 8 feet tall, said that he just stood in great stature. And here's a teenage shepherd trying to put on Shaq's jersey. This is a little bit big. This is just weird and awkward. This doesn't work. Can I just be me? And I want to encourage, I think especially a lot of men, I'm just feeling this for some of the, especially dads, where we were so hopeful for what we were going to produce in our kids. And man, it was tough. And maybe there was examples and models, and you've been coached a certain way, and you were told that it should have been whatever, and you had a driving dad on you, or you had some coaches that were driving on you, and you just repeated what you were taught, and it just didn't play out that way. And man, it's been tough. The king's armor has been too heavy. And I just want to encourage you that in the presence of the Lord, he would say something like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He would say, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There's these times that I just don't feel like I'm enough. I don't feel like I have what it takes. I just feel like the ordinary is just boring and it needs to be something more thrilling or exciting. And don't underestimate the power of God's faithfulness in those seemingly boring and wasted moments. I've had a few conversations with some husbands and fathers recently where they just feel like, I haven't given enough. I haven't been enough. I haven't said enough. I haven't coached enough. I haven't whatever enough. And sure, we could have done better. I'm sure we could have done a lot of things differently. But I want to encourage you that even in your weakness, this is where God shows off his strength. And so God, we're just asking you to override all of our weakness. Whew. And all those ways when we just didn't have it, and we just weren't enough, and we weren't there, and we lived in a place of sin rather than shining. Jesus, we just ask that your strength would redeem those moments, that you would just unpack and help us bring some freedom and deliverance to those that have been underneath our leadership when we weren't awesome. That when we were weak, God, that you would be strong in those moments. Man, I'm praying these prayers. That time when I was just too intense with correction and that heart got dinged that I was speaking to, that God, that you would just bring some healing and restoration right there. And that just, this little shepherd boy moment that was expected to be a giant killer was still just a little shepherd. Ugh. I'm walking down Main Street and John Couch's neighbor stops me and he said, I just wanted to let you know what happened with John and he's in the hospital. This was on Friday. The next morning, which was yesterday, Pastor Andrew and I, we go to the hospital. And we're going to visit John. And we're going to pray for a healing. We're going to see the fire of God come down. We're going to see a supernatural work. As we get his room number and we head on up to his room, we walk up to 575. We look inside this room. And the room had such an innocence and a haunting feeling. Because the room was empty, the bed was made, the lights were off, and John was gone. I'm like, maybe we got the wrong number, right? Maybe it's a different place. Like, where? So we go to the nurse's station. Hey, we're here. We're looking for John Couch. She kind of shuffles some papers and looks busy and... Are you guys family? No. We go to church together. She said, well, you might just want to reach out to the family. I'm like, well, do you know anything? She goes, you just probably should talk to the family. Everybody knows that is a very direct code language. So Pastor Andrew and I jump in the car and have just tough conversation on the way home. Were we enough? Did we respond quick enough? Should we have just dropped everything and gone? And what should we have done? And does anybody else ever feel like I'm just not enough? I should have, I could have, I would have, why didn't I? On and on and on. And I, right? Amen. I'm walking down through here and I'm seeing, man, I married that couple last year. I should follow up with them and see how marriage is going. Walking down the street, oh my gosh, I officiated their mother's funeral a few months ago. Why haven't I followed up to check in? Ugh. When you walk around the community that you pastor, it's just like overwhelming all of the feelings that you feel. And I'm like, what I really want is an apple dumpling. But what I'm actually feeling is like pain and heaviness and all of that stuff. When you feel the love for your community, you feel that like to love is to lose, man. Like you just feel it. So we go on here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart. Is this the right one? Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. He says, I've been living this ordinary life. And when a lion or a bear came and they carried off a sheep from the flock in this ordinary moment, I went after it. I struck it, I rescued the sheep from its mouth, and when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it, and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine, or basically he could have said, this man who is not in covenant with God. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Here's David in his ordinary life. He starts bulking up. He starts feeling it. He starts walking around his community. He's like, God, here in this moment, all I've done is lived a faithful, ordinary, predictable, somewhat boring life. And I've just been hanging out with sheep. And the conversation is pretty blah. That one just came to me. That's a dad joke. It's been pretty blah. It's been a pretty boring life. But there are these moments when I max out these ordinary lives and I want to have an engagement and a conversation. And I want to just stand outside the teacups and have an encounter and a conversation with somebody and show up to a ball game and say, God, I'm just going to enter into a conversation. And I'll just tell you this, the anointing of God is always flowing if we're willing enough to slow down and engage in a conversation. That we would have ears to hear and a heart to obey. And out of the abundance of our mouth would speak and start engaging in some conversation with people. And trust me, the oil of anointing is going to start flowing in our lives. And just every day, just showing up to your own life, submitted to Jesus Christ and saying, God, how do you want me to love here in this situation? And he goes, and I have these amazing moments. And the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. We skip verse 38, catching up here. David said, I cannot go in these this armor, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. And so he took them off. I want to tell you guys, you don't need a pulpit. You don't need a stage. You don't need to try to fit into whatever ministry should look like. You don't need to play a guitar or grab a microphone and sing and try to say, well, that's how I do ministry. No, 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 no. You show up to your life, faithful to your flock, faithful in your field, day after day after day, and say, you know what? This other style just doesn't fit me, but this one does. And I'm going to show up day after day, and I'm going to go to the factory, and I'm going to let the anointing of God just ordinarily flow through my life, and spectacular things are going to happen. I can't do it this spectacular way, King. So he took it off. Then he took his staff, just what he knows, in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch, in his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. He just did what he knew. He just showed up, and he hopped in the combine. And he hopped in the planter, and he hopped into the printing station, and he hopped into his office, into his cubicle, and he hopped into the school bus. And wherever he is, he just continued to show up, faithful. Growing up as a kid, Michael Jordan was the extraordinary. He was, man, this thing is creeping up on me, sorry. He was the picture of extraordinary and spectacular. And I had to come to a realization, I'm not that. But I'll tell you what I can do. Through teaching a little kid how to dribble a basketball, I can get into his heart and try just to love him right where he's at. And step in and be a fatherly example and be a life-giving voice of encouragement. And kind of come in here and say, you know what? I may not be able to do a 360. I may not be able to dunk it. I may not be able to do any of these sort of things. But I can love you right where you are. And I can show up in the locker room and in the school bus and on the basketball court. And I can raise kids that are going to love their friends like crazy. Bethany, you're raising some amazing girls that are going to love their community. And they are ferocious. And you put a ferocious lover on this community, look out. And so people, can you show up to your own life submitted to Jesus Christ and just going after him like that? You know, John Couch has another neighbor, Bill and Carolyn Lowe. Bill and Carolyn Lowe, they have this prayer that they pray every morning. And they say this, they say, God, will you give us one more ordinary day? I love that prayer. Because sometimes the off-the-charts days can be pretty off-the-charts terrible. And they say, God, we love the simplicity of the ordinary in our lives, where we love each other, where we work together, where we serve each other. We have a great meal at dinner time. Can you give us one more ordinary day? And this neighbor of John Couch and Bill Lowe, Bill would show up to minister to him. They'd have multiple conversations. He would take him to his doctor's appointments. He would take him to go get meds. Bill would just love right where he was. Bill is probably never going to stand behind a pulpit. I don't really like standing behind a pulpit either. That's why I like standing in front of the pulpit. He's going to show up and he's going to say, hop in my car. We're going to go get some meds today and just love him right where he is. This last weekend, I was in Colorado with a couple of my mentors and we went fly fishing on the South Platte River. And while we're there, we have this fly fishing guide. His name is Aaron, with an E. It's kind of a bummer. But he's a wild man. He's a country boy and a mountain man. And I had just walked out of this square cinder block hole. I'll let you imagine what I was doing in there. And as I come walking out of this cinder block with a hole in the ground, I come walking out, and we're waiting. This tour guide, Aaron with an E, is waiting on us. And he looks at me, and I'm the last one to show up, and he goes, "Oh, here's Brock walking out of the hole with a caramel macchiato in hand. This is the guy. Oh my gosh, what a morning. What a way to start your morning, dude." And I'm like, this guy is wild. Oh my gosh, I'm going to like him. He's got an accent. He's got a red beard. He's going to be the perfect guy. And we get out there, and he starts talking about trout and the water temperatures and how much oxygen is in the water, and it's 180 today, and there's brown trout, and we're fishing for rainbow trout, and 12 and 10, and how we're gonna get a good one, and how we're not Brad Pitt, and how we don't have a drop of water coming off of the cowboy hat, and we don't look like stud muffins, like a river runs through it, but what we do have, and we're out there waiting in this freezing cold Colorado water. And he says, there's these little eggs, these flies, these aquatic flies that are birthed underwater on these rocks. And they'll be down there for 6 to 9 months in these incubation station womb things. He didn't say that, but it was a lot better than that. And as they are birthed, they start coming up through the water, and once they hit the air, it pops, and now they're alive. And they start drying off their wings. And they start flying around. And we were out there before the sun rises. And he goes, "Look, there's no flies flying around. But once the sun comes up, they're going to be everywhere." I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And he goes, "This is how God feeds his trout. Because as they're coming up, the trout come up and they're saying, 'Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you.' And they're feeding on this stuff all day long." So we partner with the mind of God and the nature of God. And so we put these dry flies or nymphs on our line. And so that's what we're doing. And that's what we're going to go after and start nailing these trout that are in the water. As these flies come up, they have a 24 to 48 hour lifespan. And they have one purpose. It's just to procreate. And so they're just looking for each other and they do their whole deal. And all of these eggs fall down and then they hang out there for a couple months underneath water to come back alive for a day or two, and that's just all they do. God created this fly to feed trout. It's unbelievable. So as I'm talking to Aaron, he's like, "You know what? I've realized that if I can just do what I love and try to connect with men, that I can do ministry to them, because whenever I try to get men around and we just all like sit in a circle or we sit line upon line and stare at the back of somebody else's head, and then we talk about why we feel so insufficient as fathers, there's not a lot of conversation. But I get them out here, and 12 and 10, and 12 and 10, and we're hooking them, and we're talking. And I ask them, 'What's your job? And what's your passion? What was the fear that was holding you from going all in? How's that thing going on in your marriage?' And we start talking and opening up, and we have encounters with Jesus in the South Platte River. And I thought, here is this mountain man who loves Jesus, who just shows up to his life every day and makes a massive impact with what God wants to do with him. People, I don't know what you're going through and I don't know what your ordinary life is, but can you show up with your best self and just submit your life to Jesus Christ and saying, 'Jesus, what is it that you want to do through me here in this moment? What do you want to say to me as I sit next to this person at this ball game? What do you want to do with this person in line at the grocery store? God, I'm here. I'm in this moment. I may never write a New York Times bestseller, but I will show up in my community and love them faithfully to the end.'" The theology of the ordinary is pretty stinking powerful. And can you just show up every day with your best self and believe that God might do something extraordinary through your ordinary? There really is an anointing that's flowing for the simple, practical, everyday life. And for us to no longer see it as boring, but to see it as anointed and a moment that he wants to break through. So here's the challenge. Let's look for one conversation every day this week that will be intentional to have a conversation and to say, God, use my ordinary life to bring you glory and to have an encounter with someone that you can use and use this conversation to bring some life and point them to Jesus. We can do this, church family. We can do this. Just the ordinary grind every day, showing up and bringing Jesus. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close? I see this also in the Alt family. Daniel and Carrie have their kids out, and they are making food and popcorn and ribeye sandwiches and snow cones. I mean, they are doing it. And you know what they're doing? They're teaching their kids in everyday life just how to work as a team, how to love one another through stress. I'm sure it's probably stressful sometimes. You're like, you didn't do it right, and you gave back too much change, and you should have flipped the ribeye earlier, and I don't know, all of that sort of stuff. But the everyday, man, you're discipling your family. I just want to encourage you guys. You're discipling your family. And you did give me back the right change. Good job, girl. Counting money. But good job, man. That's good. There's good stuff that happens in that. And there's a lot of Jesus in the ordinary stuff. Jesus, I thank you that you want to use us in ordinary, everyday situations. God, I pray that those that feel like they haven't been enough, that you would just wash over them and you would say, my grace is sufficient. When you're insufficient, my grace is sufficient. For those of you that maybe you've walked around, you're like, man, I don't have much to offer, or I haven't been the best dad or husband or wife or mom or grandparent, I would just say, God, in my weakness, I pray that you would give me strength. God, strengthen your bride today. Strengthen your church. And I pray that we would have awesome, spectacular encounters through our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.